Welcome to Meant to Win, a podcast for founders, visionaries, and leaders who are deeply aware that their life and work are meant to create a bigger impact. We're diving into real strategy, conscious leadership, and the internal identity work that allows you to create massive success. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Wigner, an author, speaker, and eight-figure entrepreneur who loves to take business strategy and combine it with the inner identity work that truly unlocks the next level for you. If you know you have a big calling for your life and your work is meant to help more people, then you're in the right place. Welcome back, you beautiful people. I've really been thinking a lot lately about the cost of being the best, the price that you have to pay in order to be the best. And so I want to chat about that with you. And this is a concept that I've really been focused on for the last couple of months as I look at continuing to grow and expand the businesses, but also just getting more dialed in, getting more focused on what I need to do and how I can improve not only inside the businesses, but as a human myself. And I truly think that if we want to be the best, we have to be okay with people telling us that we suck. And that comes from everybody. That comes from your family. That comes from your team, the people that you're in charge of. That comes from your clients that you're serving, your patients that you're serving. That comes from really just being able to take feedback in. And so let me tell you a little bit about what I mean. When you're on a path and you're committed to becoming the best, in order to get better, you have to suck at things. So you're going to try new things. You're going to put things out there that maybe aren't your best self. And then you're going to learn from that and you're going to improve. You're going to keep it moving. I think of several clients I have that want to grow online. And they're like, Steph, you know, they're so inspired by what I've created and they want to be where I am. But I'm like, you guys don't understand how bad I used to suck. Like, you don't understand how different things used to be even 4 years ago. You know, I used to put out content that wasn't my best, but at least I was trying. I used to put out programs that were my best, but at least I was trying. And so in order to become the best, you have to be willing to suck for long enough and to be told things aren't a 10 out of 10 so that you can improve them. And so this is a practice I've really been dialing in lately and applying to my own life, even conversations with my husband. Like, tell me where I'm not being the best wife. Tell me how I can love you the way that you want to be loved. Tell me how I can show up for this family in a better way compared to what I'm currently doing. And of course, that doesn't mean I'm sucking at everything. Obviously, things are going well, but in order to become the best, I want to know where my downfalls are. That comes from asking clients for feedback. We always ask clients for feedback. The end of the month, hey, tell me what you need from us. The end of an event, can you complete this event survey and tell us what you would have loved for us to add? And listen, we put a lot of time and attention and energy into the stuff that we deliver for our clients. So I'm going to be honest, I haven't really been told that I suck per se from clients before, but I am so open to feedback. If something's not at a 10 out of 10, tell me how it can be, right? And for a lot of people, that's really scary. That feels like rejection. That feels like, honestly, their ego's too big to be willing to take that feedback in, or potentially it's the fact that they're scared of what they're going to hear because they haven't worked on their own self-worth enough to be able to handle those conversations. And I think for a lot of us, it feels good to say we want to be the best. It feels good to say, like, I'm going to try my best. But the reality is, if you knew the cost of being the best, I don't know that you would claim that that's what you want, because it is really difficult to become the best. It is hard to become the best. And the best is relative, obviously. You know, it's funny, before I was getting ready for this episode, I was thinking of something that I heard back in basketball camp when I was like in fourth grade. And there was a little chant we used to say that was like, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is your better and your better is your best. And so it was this mantra that we used to say during practice and during camp. And it was like, you have to constantly be getting better. You know, you're the number one free throw shooter. Great. You better maintain that and figure out how to improve your percentages, right? I've applied that aspect to my life. I think that people who grow up playing sports just become better entrepreneurs. That might be a hot topic, but it's true, because you're used to getting your butt kicked regularly. You're used to training. You're used to getting the reps in. You're used to losing. And that is what is required to become a good entrepreneur. Like, you have to be willing to lose. You have to be willing to be told that you suck. You have to be willing to fail in order to create anything amazing. I love this principle as well when it comes to your team, because a couple months ago, I had all the girls that worked for me. I will say that it wasn't my whole team, but it was like the girls that have worked for me the longest. And we were having a deep and honest conversation. And they, anytime they get me alone, they corner me and they're like, Steph, tell me what to do. Tell me where I can improve. Tell me what to do in my own business. Like, where am I not showing up? How can I lead this company better? How can I show up better in my role? And I freaking love that I have people on my team that want that feedback. They crave that directness from me. They crave that honesty. And honesty is one of our core pillars, our core values. And so we all aim to be super direct and honest with each other. And I said, okay, I will tell you exactly what maybe I wouldn't tell you, but you've invited this conversation in. Because again, I'm not just walking around and telling people what I think about every little thing. Like that's not a quality of a good leader. I want to give you feedback that improves the way that you feel about yourself and improves the way that you're showing up, right? And so what they were basically inviting me to do is give them feedback that I wouldn't normally already give them, or give them feedback on something I see that they can't see for themselves. And so I said, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, it feels a little scary. And they were like, please, like, we're begging you. Well, we know you do this for your friends. We know that you do this for clients. Like, do it for us. And I was like, okay, I will, as long as you promise to give the same thing to me. And then they all got really scared. And they were like, I was like, okay, I'm not going to do it if you guys won't give that same thing back to me, because I deserve to hear feedback too on how I can show up as a better leader for you, on how I can improve things. Like, by no means am I perfect, and I want that direct feedback. The problem is, I want to be the best leader I can be. I want to be the best CEO I can be. I say that and I mean that. So please tell me where I'm not showing up as my best so that I can improve. That feels scary for a lot of us to like welcome in a conversation that maybe we're not ready to have. Because the other thing is, when you invite team in or you invite clients or patients in to provide feedback, it makes it really difficult if you do nothing with that feedback, right? It makes it really difficult if you're like, hey, please tell me all the ways that I can improve, and then you don't actually improve. It creates a distrust in that relationship. And so I knew by inviting that feedback in, I was going to have to do something about it. One of my girls told me that she feels like I still allow certain instances to trigger me when I shouldn't, like it's holding me back. And I was like, I love that feedback. I absolutely agree. One of the things that you've probably heard me talk about over the last few months is triggers. Triggers are an invitation in to figure out what's going on. I don't run from the triggers, but I'm also a human. So do I get triggered? Of course I do. And one of my other girls said, I love you, but you change your mind often. And I was like, I receive that. I understand that. I'm a classic visionary. Like, I have new ideas. I want all of them executed on in 0.5 seconds. And then maybe in like 2 hours, I'm going to change my mind and be like, I didn't actually want to do that. And so it can create a little bit of chaos. It can create a little bit of a situation where the team thought they were working on something, but I've already changed my mind 3 times and I actually want them working on this thing over here, but I didn't necessarily communicate that. So she was like, I don't mind that you change your mind, and I don't mind that you get a better idea. We're always going to listen to your ideas, but we need more communication around you changing your mind, and we need an opportunity to try something before you change your mind. And I was like, I love that feedback. And then one of them said, I feel like you used to tell me I did a good job all the time, and now I haven't heard that more recently. And I was like, okay, we think when we communicate with our team that they just know what we're thinking. Oh, you already know that I love you. Oh, you already know that I think you're doing a good job. Oh, you already know that I think you're excellent at this. And it was a great reminder for me as a leader that I have to constantly remind people that they're doing a good job. We want to empower them. We want to build up their confidence. And in order to do that, they need to hear things multiple times. Just like our audience needs to hear our offer 100 times, like our team needs to hear where they're really doing a good job 100 times. And I thought after that conversation that we had, and they had such space, it made us so much closer also. Not only did it help us understand each other through the lens of where can I improve, and like also all of us want to get better for each other together, for the company, for the people that we serve, right? And so there's a really clean energy to that. There's a really like soft, warm, fuzzy collaboration feeling to that that I really loved. And then after that, I just felt like we were all closer. Like it was kind of like, hey, let's lay it all out there. And it wasn't even laying it all out there. Nobody was mad about anything. It was like, oh, it's such a permission slip to have an open, honest, direct conversation with the people on our team. So if you haven't done that with your team, it is scary. You might be scared. You might like, I don't actually want to know what they're going to say to me. I invite you to still do it anyways, because that's actually the cost of being the best, is welcoming in perspective, welcoming in feedback that maybe you don't want to hear, but it could be the thing that changes the game for you. If you haven't asked any of the people that are paying you how it's going, what they want more of, what they want less of, what you can improve, then how are you going to become the best at what you're serving? And so that's something that I also take really seriously. I also think, you know, it is an identity, of course. You guys know that I was going to bring it back to then. Just like Meant to Win is an identity, it's like being the best is an identity. I don't want to be good. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be just okay. Like, honestly, even saying that makes me cringe a little bit. I have no interest in just being good enough. Like, I want to be the best, not for praise, not for recognition, because I know I'm capable of being the best, because I know it's a God-given talent to be the best, because I know the things I'm working on require me to become my best. And so when we redid our values for my coaching company this year, I sat down and was like, okay, what are our values? Number one, excellence is the baseline. Excellence is the baseline for everything. That's how we show up online. It's how we carry ourselves. It's how we communicate with each other. It's how we aim to deliver results. It's how we aim to deliver things to our clients. It's how we aim to do everything. And so when excellence is the baseline, it doesn't leave a lot of room for error. And so I want to just end on that a little bit. Of course, you're going to make mistakes. Of course, things are going to be hard. Of course, you're not going to get it perfect. But being excellent doesn't mean that you get it perfect. It means that you're on a path to becoming the best and committed to doing whatever it takes. So it's not like you're going to get it right the first time. I love one of my clients who's really growing online and getting inspired by what I've created. She's like, I love watching your old videos and seeing how you just showed up. I love seeing you like not really knowing what you're doing now, seeing the caliber that you're at. I love looking back. And that's why I wanted to share the first couple of podcast episodes I did when we rebranded the podcast, because it was like, guys, I just got in front of a mic and I started recording and I had no idea what I was going to talk about. I had no idea the direction it was going to go. And with those reps, it allowed me to become better and better. Am I anywhere close to being the best podcaster in the world? Nope. Is it something that I aspire to be? I don't really know. That's actually something I've been asking myself lately. How big do I want to grow the podcast? How far do I want to take it? How much do I want to invest into it? Obviously a lot, like I'm pouring a lot into it, but it's like, do I want to become the best? There's a cost with that. And I think a really good, honest conversation needs to be had around that. What does it mean to become the best? And am I willing to do what it takes? For podcasting, I have no idea. I'm just being honest. But for certain areas of my life, absolutely. Do I want to be the best coaching company on the planet for health and wellness practitioners? Absolutely. Do I want to be the best mom I can be? Absolutely. Do I want to be the best wife I can be? Absolutely. Do I want to be the best boss, leader, CEO I can be? Absolutely. And so it doesn't mean that you have to be the best at everything you do. I think that kind of sounds tiring. And again, we're moving out of this like obsessive hustle culture and like really stepping into our power of knowing and trusting our intuition. But my intuition also tells me there's a lot of things that I'm good at that I can just improve 1%, 5%, 10% at, that's going to get me closer to being the best. And I want to end with this. If you feel like you're ready to be the best thing you can do is invite in people to give you feedback. The best thing you could do, reach out to your coaches. Hey, where am I not showing up? Where can I be the best? What do you see in me that I'm not seeing that if I just fix this one thing, I would get to the next level? Say that to your spouse. Say that to your team. Say that to your sister, your mom, your brother. Ask them where you could potentially just improve a little bit to completely change the game for you. If something in this episode resonated with you today, trust that it wasn't random. It wasn't an accident. Growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from becoming more. If you know you're meant for a bigger life, a bigger impact, and success that actually truly feels aligned with you, then you're being called forward. This is your opportunity.